All right, if you take your Bibles here, we're going to look at two passages. The first one is found in the book of John here, and chapter 1 and verse 23. This message is a little different in terms of, normally I'd like to take a passage of Scripture and just go through that passage and be a little more expository. Tonight, I'm really going to share my heart because I knew what Pastor Clear was going to announce and that I was coming here full time. And coming to that decision has been a long process for me, probably 4 years or so of just praying about it and feeling like God was maybe working in my heart to move on. And for me, I don't know if you quite understand it, but Gospel Light is the church where I got saved, where my family's life was changed. And I knew the Lord has been working in my heart, and I walked into the Pastor Paul's office. And one of those walks that I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I appreciate my pastor. He's such a humble man. He's literally the most humble guy I know. And he said to me, he was like, well, brother, I knew this day was coming. He said that to me. And he said, but I'm happy for you, and I want you to do what God has for you. And that meant all the world to me. And tonight, my message is somewhat about how God's used people to be so instrumental in my life. And I want to teach you a lesson from that. Let's take a look here at John chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, and let's start in verse 21. It says, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And I'll actually start in verse 1, too, for context's sake. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Then verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In this passage, obviously, it's predicting the coming of John the Baptist. And in that passage, it uses the phrase, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I decided to look up that word voice. I remember a couple years ago in chapel, I preached a message that had a little bit to do with this. But I looked up that word, and it was interesting. That word voice actually, in the Greek, is an amplifier. An amplifier. Basically just saying, it's just magnifying what's already inside, what has been given to him. So, in other words, John says, I am just magnifying. I am just pointing people to Christ. I am just showing people who Jesus really is. And my message tonight really hits on this idea of the fact that you and I are voices that are meant to amplify something. And I want you to think about your voice tonight. We're going to pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for First Baptist Church, Lord God. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of this becoming my home church, Lord God. And I ask that you would help me in my time here to be a blessing to the people, Lord God, tonight, yes, but in the future as well. And I pray that everything that I do, Lord God, would bring glory and honor to you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I wrote down a couple of names tonight. Because when I think about voices that have amplified Jesus in my life, I can't help but think of these several people I'm going to list. And I'm going to tell you some things that they did for me. And then after that, we'll wrap it up and I'll throw some other stuff in there. But literally, this is just my heart on paper tonight. And so, first point I want to point out is this. A voice passes on truth. So if you're taking notes, you want to write that down. A voice passes on truth. I want you to ask yourself, what are the great things that you have been taught? And then I want you to think, are you sharing them? The great things you've been taught. John obviously was given a great call by God. He was given the wonderful privilege of announcing the birth of the Savior. He was given the wonderful privilege to announce, I shouldn't say the birth of the Savior, but that we would have a Savior, that Jesus Christ, and that he would go before him as a forerunner. You and I, we have an opportunity to do the same thing, but in a different way. We're allowed to use our voices to pass on truth to help other people go forward in their life. Some of the people I wrote down, number one, my mom. My mom taught me some hard truths, some hard lessons in life that have helped me become who I should be and who I needed to be. My mom taught me how to work hard. My mom taught me how to, one thing she always said to me, one reason why I cared about my grades so much here at First Baptist School, my mom was working a job as a single parent to pay for me to come here. And I thought to myself, every time that lady goes to work, she's sacrificing greatly for me. And I said, it's going to be a cold day before I decide not to do my best in school. I'm going to do the best that I can to honor the woman who's sacrificing for me every day. She was a voice pouring things into my life. She was a voice. There was a lady in my church, Mrs. Jaycox. The first time I came to Gospel Light, Mrs. Jaycox walked up to me, and she touched me on my shoulder. I'll never forget it. She's an old Fourth Baptist church member, and she started coming to Gospel Light. And she said to me, Sean, God told me you're going to play the piano. My first week being at Gospel Light. I was terrified by that. Let me grab this mic here. Sorry, I got to walk around a little bit. But Mrs. Jaycox said to me, Sean, God told me you're going to play the piano. I remember just being so stunned by that. Who is this lady telling me I'm going to play the church piano? And a couple of weeks later, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I sat at the piano and I just played Blessed Assurance. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I did. But this lady, she spoke truth into me. She spoke some words to me. She showed me something that God could do with me. She was a voice in my life. There's another lady named Miss Grant. Mrs. Grant was an older lady in our church. She was actually a member at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and she moved up to Minnesota with her daughter. She started coming to our church. And this lady, she wanted me to go to Christian school so bad. I was not for going to First Baptist school, to be quite honest, at first. I was already going to public school. I wanted to keep doing that. I had my friends. But my mom told me, you're going because Pastor Paul said it. Okay. I guess I'm going. And back then, you just did what your parents said, right? Anyways, I'll stop there. Anyway, but I was told that. And I started going to First Baptist School. But Mrs. Grant would pay for my lunches every day until she passed away. She did some things for me to help me. She was a voice that spoke truth into my life. There's a Sunday school teacher at Gospel Light named Bruce Onney. Bruce Onney is the first member of Gospel Light Baptist Church. He has been there now for 29 years, longer than anybody. But myself, Daisy Enriquez, can tell you, we both had him at Gospel Light in Sunday school. And Bruce was the guy, after every Wednesday night service, to get us to come to Wednesday night church, he would load us, he would basically say, I'll take you all to Wendy's after. He'd load us into his car, like 15 teenage boys that you shouldn't do, and we just pile up and we go to Wendy's. But he was a voice that spoke truth. He discipled us. He loved us. He cared about us. He made an impact. I remember his Sunday school lessons, how he would cry as he's teaching us a lesson. And I remember thinking as a 12-year-old boy, it didn't quite compute, but I remember thinking, like, why is this guy crying? But he's crying because he was just trying to be a voice to speak truth into a young person's life. I think about, in my life, a couple, Khaki and John Frost. They used to go to a church called Straight Gate Church in Minneapolis. And some of you know there's a family here that attends there sometimes as well. But they discipled my family. They were instrumental. Their 18-year-old son was instrumental in my mom actually getting saved. He planted the gospel seed in her life, which eventually led her to get saved. But that family helped disciple me in my younger years, all before I even started First Baptist School, to kind of help get me to where I need to be. There's a couple that live next door to me in Minneapolis. They went to Bethlehem Baptist. Of all places, Steve and Laura Johnson, this guy, Steve Johnson. Picture this. I'm living in Phillips neighborhood, which is like the one of the, it's definitely the worst neighborhood in South Minneapolis, one of the worst neighborhoods in Minneapolis. And the guy who lives a couple of doors down from me, like, this blows my mind. He was the head accountant for the Super Value Corporation. And he lived there. And I remember one day my mom went to him and said, I have to ask you, what is wrong with you guys? And they said, well, Dr. John Piper, back in the day, used to preach to his church members, you should live in the city where you're going to church so that you can have an influence on them. So they lived in the neighborhood. This guy who's definitely making lots of money living in this neighborhood. He actually had a relative that went here. His niece went here for, I don't know, Mr. O, you might remember this name, Celeste Seymour. Her uncle lived next door to me, and I didn't even realize it. But that guy had an impact on my life. When I went off to Hiles Anderson College, he sold one of his cars and gave me some money to go. Wow. He was a voice. When I got married, he wrote me, I'll never forget, he called me over to his house the night before. He said, I'm so proud of you, Sean. I've prayed for you since you were a little kid. And he wrote me a $1,000 check for me and my wife. And he handed it to me and said, I love you. He was a voice in my life. His wife just texted me yesterday. She said, I'm praying for you as you preach tonight. She was a voice in my life. Coach Helder. Coach Helder was such an impact on my life. I'm telling you, I'm in ministry today, a big part because of that man. His practices, he was nuts. He was tough. But he would, his devotion time, the things that he would say to us, they have stuck with me for a lifetime. The same things that my players hear. Mr. Helder is speaking through me. Can I just tell you, I'm just amplifying the things that I was taught. I'm just being a conduit of the things that have been put into me, and I'm just passing it back on. But Mr. Helder and his wife, a voice in my life, after practices, they would take me to their house many times. And they would feed me and Marcus. And then Mr. Helder would get in that old blue truck that was falling apart, and he'd drive us to Minneapolis. He was a voice in my life. I think about Coach O. It's a privilege to work with my coach. Mr. O, you'll never know the times that you spent in your devotions to our soccer team, what that meant to us guys. Me and Marcus still talk about some of your devotions. One reason why I made a promise to stay pure until I was married, Mr. O, was because one of your devotions in soccer practice. He was a voice in my life. He was a voice. Think about Lenny Nelson. He was the principal of First Baptist School when I first came here. Mr. Nelson, see, It was different. A lot of people didn't quite understand us kids who came from Gospel Light. But Lenny Nelson, he bent over backwards for us Gospel Light kids. I got to tell this story. Marcus Weatherspoon, for some of you that remember him, he's a big old guy. And Marcus, first week of school, punched a kid out. As a seventh grader, he punched a senior out. No exaggeration. Knocked him straight out. And this happened in P.E., you know, Mr. Graves was the middle school administrator at the time, so he was just so hot, and Mr. Graves was like, go to the principal, you know, go to Mr. Nelson. He didn't want to deal with it, and Mr. Nelson pulls Marcus in and pulls some of us other guys in, and he's like, what happened? Mr. Nelson, or Marcus said, I got mad. And Mr. Nelson, I'll never forget, he put his arm around him, and he said, kid, I love you, but you can't punch other kids out. I'm not going to give you demerits this time, but I want you to meet with me after school, and let's talk. I'll never forget how he handled that situation. But he understood kind of what we were going through. He was a voice in our lives. He walked up to us every day. So honestly, when Mr. Nelson said he was leaving First Baptist School, I'll never forget the dead silence in the Johnson Chapel, only broken by sobs, because a man was a voice and he cared for us. He loved us. I think about Charlie Graves. He was my senior class advisor and my principal. I'm thankful for the days that Mr. Graves spent time working on basketball with our class and teaching us math and caring about us. When I saw Mr. Graves come into Wednesday night service, my heart was overflowed to see him. But I'm thankful for that man because he was a voice in my life. He loved me. He cared about me. I think about Valerie Clear. She influenced me in music. Mrs. Clear, I don't know if you remember this, but you and Mr. Helder stood me in front of a mirror getting ready for Max. And you guys both said to me, Sean, you're going to do good. You're going to win. I remember, Mrs. Clear, you told me, I don't know if you remember this even, you're the one who said to me, Sean, I think you could be a teacher someday. You said that to me. Mrs. Clear is my music hero. But she was a voice. She was kind. She taught my classes. What I'm saying is, she's a voice. This message isn't necessarily about me, but I'm just telling you, these are the people that poured something into me, that helped me. I think about a man named Ted Spear at Hiles Anderson College. He showed me in ministry how to really love people. And you've heard some of the stories that I've told you before. But at Hiles Anderson College, that place changed my life in terms of reaching people and understanding what it means to really care, what it really means to sacrifice. I know what it is to help pay for a kid to go to school. I know what it is to be out on a Saturday for 8 hours. Not because the college made me, but being out there because you just saw the need. You saw the people. You saw the broken lives, and you said, I can't help but help these people. And then coming to the great First Baptist Church of Hammond on a Sunday and bringing those kids and seeing those kids get saved and then seeing those kids go on to the Christian school and many of those kids, some of them even teaching in their Christian schools to this day. I'm thankful for Ted Spear. I'm thankful for my home church pastor, Pastor Paul Taylor. Time couldn't tell you for all the things that he did for me, but I'm thankful for him. Thankful for my Sunday school teacher, Tara Flynn. Thankful for Pastor Clear. Pastor Clear had a profound impact on my senior class. He had senior Bible with us, and he was one of those teachers. Him and Miss Miranda, you could ask them any question in the world, and they would give you an answer. But he loved us. And I think about Pastor Clear to this day. Pastor Clear, I know if I need something, I can come to you. I can go to your office. I can talk to you. That means the world to me. Another lady, Jennifer Markley. Literally the greatest English teacher I've ever had. But she's just one of the greatest people. She loved me. I think about Brent and Audrey Mellett. They loved me like I was their own kid. I named all these people because they passed on truth to me. Who are you passing truth on? Could someone else get up and say about you what I'm saying about these dear people who were a voice to speak truth into me so that then I could go and amplify it? Number two, an amplifier recognizes its importance to getting the sound out. Truth doesn't have to be original to you. Just share it. All those people that shared with me, can I just tell you this? I guarantee those people got that from somebody else. They learned those things from their moms, from their dads, from their pastors, from their teachers. They learned it from somebody else, and they were willing to yield their life so that they could share it with me, so then I could share it with other people. Every time I stand before a class, you know what I say? This isn't original to Sean McKinney. It's come from somebody else behind. And ultimately, it's come from God. It's come from people who surrendered their God, and they said just like John did, John was yielded to be a voice for God. So same with those people. They were yielded to be a voice for God
First Baptist Church of Rosemount, are you yielded tonight to be a voice to God? Are you amplifying the truths, the great things you've been taught, and have you been giving it to anybody else? And then my final point is this, and we'll spend the crux of the message. We need voices. We need voices. When you guys hear me preach, I pick themes on purpose. I don't know if you noticed, first couple of, I've known for a while that I was probably going to be coming here. I guess we've talked probably over a year or so ago for sure. So every time I got a chance to preach, there's a couple of things I hit on purpose. And I'm hitting this one on purpose too. First Baptist Church, we need to be voices that are reaching people's lives. You've heard me say many times, you ever notice, I always keep saying it's about people. It's about people. I said last couple weeks, it's about people. It's about people. It's about people. Because I want you to understand it's about people. You know why we have this building? This building is about people. It's about reaching people and pointing them to a Savior who can change their lives. That's why you have this building. So when the kid runs around and makes it dirty, don't get mad. Be happy we have people to make it dirty. I was so convicted a couple of weeks back, Mr. Kane. I was complaining about a class I teach, middle school choir. I have the record for teaching middle school choir the longest of anybody. I should get a standing ovation for that. No, I'm just kidding. 15 years in purgatory. I've been praying my way out and it hasn't worked. Light a few candles for me, please. But I was complaining about it. And Mr. Kane, in his devotion, basically said something to the effect of, you know, isn't it a blessing we have all these kids here? After I had just complained to somebody. You know why God put those kids here? So that I could be a voice. So that that man, that woman, there's a bunch of you out here, don't want to leave anyone out, could be a voice. And we complain. We complain, you know, I've been to churches before that complain about the bus kids coming in. Are you kidding me? You're complaining about that? You get a chance to be a voice. You complain because someone leaves a light on? Yeah, they should turn the light on. But at least there was someone in that room. At least there was somebody there, a person, a soul that God entrusted to your church. Are you more happy about the person in the church, or do you care more about the stinking light? Amen. You get a chance to be a voice. Relish that. Hey, are we being voices to each other? First Baptist Church, you know what I would love to see our church do? I would love to see our church reach out in a greater way to those who are in this very room. I don't care that Brian Larson's been going to this church for 40 plus, 50, how many years? 60, 70? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Brian. Don't hurt me. He's tall. I'm scared. He's been going here for a long time. How many of you are trying to be a voice in his life? When's the last time you walked up to Brian and Rachel Larson and said, hey, here's $100. I just want you to know I love you and I'm thankful for you. When's the last time you walked up to Elizabeth Friedel and said, hey, I want you to know that I appreciate what you do. I see her here every Saturday. Mrs. Friedel, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate it. When's the last time you did that? See, that's being a voice. That's caring about some people. When's the last time you walked up to the single person in the church? Instead of saying to them, hey, do you have a boyfriend yet or a girlfriend yet? This or that? Why don't you just go up and encourage them? Be a blessing to them. Love on them and care about them. You could be a voice to influence them. Do you know some of the greatest tools that we have, the greatest tool we have is our mouth, and we can use it to speak truth into people's lives and to bless them. And then after our mouth, we can use our resources to be an encouragement to them. Hey, you'll support, I'm all for supporting missionaries. You'll support a missionary 10,000 miles away, but what about the person sitting right next to you? You get a chance to be a voice. Young people, we need voices. Every time I get a chance to speak, I try to hit the young people because I am a young person, kind of. Slowly moving past that. Deaf young person compared to Mr. Kane. But I'm a young person still. Can I tell you? Because of the voices of the dear men and women, many of them in this room, many of them in another church, in other places, because of them, I decided to yield my life to God. Did you hear what I said? Can I just be truthful with you? I don't know that I yielded my life to God because of what I read in His Word, not because His Word isn't important, it's the most important thing. But God used human instruments to influence me. Human instruments. Young people, I said this in a high school chapel, and I'll say it here. I'm tired of on a Friday night at graduation, young people saying, I want to thank Mr. McKinney for influencing my life. And then 2 days later, you're out vaping and drinking. Hey, don't say. Don't even dare say you're thankful for the influence if you're not willing to live a life to show your thankfulness. You know why I'm here today? Because I'm thankful for Steve Helder. I'm thankful for Laura McKinney, for Dave Clear, for Valerie Clear, for a host of other people. That's why I'm here today. I'm here today because someone else was a voice for me, and now it's my turn to pay it back and be a voice for them. And you young people ought to start caring about that. And you old people too, just like me. We need to care about it. We ought to be voices until the day we die. I will finish with this. What more could a person want to be than a voice? We don't care about your degrees. I don't care what college you went to or the college you didn't go to. I don't care your skin color, your age. No, I just say, hey, would you be a voice? Would you be a voice? Because at this time, that's what our world needs. Let's pray.
I'm going to have Valerie come to the piano, and the invitation here is very simple. Are you a voice in somebody else's life?